Hi there, label changers. I think everybody goes through periods of time where they may have a closet filled to the brim with clothes, but they feel as though they have nothing to wear. I know I go through that periodically. And whether you're feeling frumpy or worried that you're not dressing your age, and I'm putting that in air quotes because I hate that phrase, defining your signature style that makes you feel confident and powerful can seem difficult. Today, we have an amazing guest on the podcast. Jennifer Mackey Mary is a wardrobe stylist who gives real style advice to real women, just like you and me. Over the last two decades, she's helped thousands of women cut through the clutter in their closets, discover their style, and build wardrobes that make getting dressed fun and easy. She's the host of the popular podcast, The Everyday Style School, that teaches you everything your mom forgot to mention about style. Jennifer's passionate about raising confident daughters, female entrepreneurship, and getting every woman in America in a better bra. I think you're going to enjoy the conversation I had with Jennifer recently and pick up quite a few tips on how to identify your style and look forward to getting dressed every morning. Plus, she's offering you a free ebook at the end of today's podcast. So, without further ado, we've got lots to talk about. Let's go. Hi there. My name is Jenny Graves. You know, throughout my life, I've been labeled as being too loud, too quiet, too old, too big, too difficult, too bossy. Okay, so you get the gist of where I'm headed with this, right? And over time, subconsciously, I began to believe every single one of those awful labels, feeling less than, unworthy, and overall a lousy person to be around. Until one day, one magical day, I said, to heck with this, I've had enough, and began defining who I am and where I'm going on my own terms. And now, I'm obsessed with helping women over 40 toss aside the age and gender-based labels given to them to create the success they want and deserve. Pull up a seat and join me each week to talk about strategies for reframing and repositioning your mindset, your career, and your life. It's time to turn the table on negative labels and take back control. Okay, let's get it. Hi, Jennifer. Welcome to the podcast. We're so happy to have you here.
Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, this is so fun. And I think it's just so important. It's such an important topic for us to talk about women and, you know, their self-image and how do you project yourself to the world, right? So let's just dive in. So I'll be honest, whenever I think of a stylist, I think of all these TV shows I've seen, like on entertainment news, news of stylists getting celebrities ready for like the Oscars.
Yes.
I know there's way more to what you do than that, but can you just help us understand kind of what you do and how you help women?
Absolutely. Well, yeah, stylists definitely help celebrities, but a lot of wardrobe stylists and personal stylists work with just real women. You know, my business is called Everyday Style and I serve everyday women. And the way I like to describe it, well, there's really two ways. The first one is that TV show, What Not to Wear. Every woman I know is like, oh, I want them to come to my house. That's what we do. Like, that's what, that's a real thing. You can have that. And then the second way I like to describe it for real women is, imagine if you went into a store and people actually knew how to help you, right? They came to you and they knew how to find pants that fit you. They knew what went with what. They knew what you had in your wardrobe. They could tell you, oh, you know, you're not wearing that dress anymore. Let's get rid of it. So I think service in stores has really changed over the last definitely 20 years, because when I started at Chico's, we help people in a very, very different way than how they help people now, which is really sad to me. But that's what women want. They want somebody who is knowledgeable, can give opinions, and that's what stylists do. So I help women clean out their closets. I help them develop their signature styles. I help them find clothes that work for them, and I help make style easy.
Wow. You know, sign me up right now.
Right?
You know, and I've gone to some stores. I remember a few years back, I started a new job and I thought, I want to get, I mean, look, who can afford to completely redo their wardrobe? Yeah. But I thought, I'm going to go to a really nice store where they have somebody there who can help me do all those things that you said. And I did. And I walked out of there spending way too much money, way more money than I ever thought I would spend. And I didn't have a sense of trust with that person. I'll be honest. Like, yep. I walked out thinking, were they really just telling me that this is what I should be wearing? Like, there was no relationship. It was just, it was not a great experience. But to have somebody who could actually come and kind of sit down with me and, you know, go through what I own and help me figure out what's good and where can we improve? And then, like you said, pants are like the nightmare thing for me, finding a pair of pants that fit.
They're for everyone. But you know, the thing is, when I was working with clients, shopping with them, I was on my client's side. Yeah. I didn't make any money from the stores. It didn't bother me if they bought those clothes or didn't buy those clothes. Right. My job was to get my client the right things. You know, I remember a season where plaid shirts were really a big thing for fall. And I was working with a lot of like curvy women who had bigger busts, smaller waist, bigger hips. And that's a really tough thing for a lot of women to wear. I knew that the best plaid shirt for curvy women was at Old Navy. So when we were at Nordstrom and the woman is bringing the $99 shirt, the $68 shirt, I knew that the best one was at the store next to it for $17.99.
Wow.
And that's really, you need somebody on your side. You need somebody working for you. A lot of retail people work for their company. Yeah. They work for them, not for you.
Exactly. And you know, again, it kind of, for me anyway, it goes back to trust. And when you just don't really know somebody, it's hard to go, okay. So I think what you provide is, like, it would be so much better because I, you know, you can build that relationship with you. So, well, I mean, you help so many women, and I'm just really curious from your perspective, you know, based on your experience, what are some of the more common challenges that you see that women face, you know, women over 40, 50, 60, you know, what are some of the challenges that they face and some of the more common things that you recommend to help them?
Absolutely. So I started my style career at Chico's. So I had moved from the restaurant industry where I was a corporate trainer for many years to Chico's, where I was also doing training and opening new stores. But I was working with women who were, you know, 50s, 60s and above. So I have always had just this special place in my heart for style for women of a certain age, right? I love that term, of a certain age. I think that women of a certain age deal with a lot of the same things, right? Pants. I have to tell you, when you said that, I was like, because pants are the number one problem in every woman's wardrobe. And we try and fix it with tops, but you got to fix the pants first. So everybody file that nugget away. But women over 40 are also dealing with changing bodies. Your body shape overall doesn't change, but as we start to get toward menopause, we do start to thicken through the middle, which for a lot of women is something they didn't have before. So all of a sudden they feel bad about themselves. They think, I need to eat less, work out more. And it's just sort of a natural thing. I think women are also experiencing lifestyle changes in their 40s and 50s. I know everybody's experiencing lifestyle changes right now, right? I mean, right. Most people aren't going places. You're not going into the office. But for a lot of women in their 50s and 60s, they're coming out of the workforce. All of a sudden, it's a much more casual lifestyle than they're used to. And they maybe have gotten away with kind of weekend clothes they didn't love because it wasn't the biggest bulk of what they were wearing. But now they're in these weekend clothes all the time and just feeling frumpy and bad. So I think it's body changes and lifestyle changes are two of the biggest challenges. On the other hand, and I want women to hear this, over 40 is when you start to get yourself back. Right? Yeah. I had my last one, my little one at 37. So she is almost in double digits now. And I'm not worried about her getting dressed. She can make herself breakfast. I have my mornings back. Yeah. I'm not paying for diapers in preschool. I'm getting some money back. It is a wonderful time to rediscover yourself or discover yourself. And I think a lot of women think they're sort of on the down part of the style roller coaster when you don't have to be. You don't have to be at all. I think fashion gets fun over 40 because also you don't care what people think of you anymore. You're dressing for yourself, number one, which is how you should always be dressing for yourself. You're dressing for yourself. You've got money and time. That is a beautiful place to be from a style perspective.
Absolutely. You know, one of the things that I'm the most grateful for now that I'm 56, and one of the things I was thinking about this the other day, I am so glad that I dress for myself now versus dressing for what others are going to think.
Exactly.
Like, you know, being in the corporate world, you feel like you've got to fit an image, right? You've got to look a certain way. And, you know, it's just cookie cutter stuff that I bought year after year. And now it's like, I'm going to wear what makes me happy. And you know, you and I talked the other day, and my idol is Iris Apfel, which if you don't know who Iris is, I'm going to include a link in the show notes to, it's a documentary. It's a YouTube documentary that was made about Iris. She is a style icon, interior. She used to be an interior decorator, and then she got into designing fabrics, and there's just all these things, but she is 99 years old. And this woman, I mean, she is just full of confidence, and she knows what makes her happy in what she wears. And, you know, some people look at her and they're like, holy crap, look at that lady, because she's always dripping in color and just bright and bold and bright red lipstick. But she's confident, and that makes her happy. And I'm not quite at her level yet, but that's where I'm hoping to get to. I want to be Iris when I'm 99 years old, because we get one life, and you might as well be happy and feel good about yourself. So dressing to, you know, make yourself feel confident is so important. And you just reach a phase in your life where it kind of happens, you know?
Yeah. I do think though that Iris was Iris when she was 40.
Yes.
Right. And if you don't know Iris, she's never met a bracelet she didn't love. She wears these ginormous glasses. I mean, the bracelet stack was invented by Iris Apfel, and there's no like little dainty chains involved. She wears huge stuff, and she's a tiny, tiny, tiny woman. Iris was Iris when she was 40. Iris at 99 is the progression of Iris through the ages. So I don't want to be Iris Apfel, because those necklaces really kind of make me claustrophobic. But what I want to be is Jennifer at 99, wearing the things. For me, it'll probably be graphic t-shirts. I love a good graphic t-shirt. They just make me smile. The weirder and funnier, the better. Bowdoin is my favorite source for them. But that's what I want. I want to be the best, most true version of myself at 99. And I think a lot of people will go, oh, well, I don't want to look like Iris Apfel, so I'll just wear nothing. You don't, there's a huge chasm between Iris Apfel and nothing. Absolutely. And those are not your only choices. So find your middle, wherever that is. You know, you and I were talking before we started recording, you are an earrings person. I'm a necklace person. So at 99, you'd be rocking those huge, you know, wonderful, the boldest, best earrings you want. I'm going to be rocking the boldest, best necklaces that I want at 99. I think you've got to find the essence of you and then just go all in on it.
Exactly. And I guess that's a question that I have is like, how do you find the essence of you? Like how, especially if you're in a situation where you're already feeling, you know, you're at that place where you feel frumpy. Mm-hmm. You know? I mean, I think we've all been there. Yeah. I mean, especially like when the pandemic hit and we were all, you know, stuck at home. There were days I wore the same thing for like a week. And, you know, talk about feeling frumpy.
Yeah.
But
like, how do you find your, as you mentioned earlier, your signature style? How do you find what makes you happy?
I think the first thing everyone needs to acknowledge is that dressing well does not have to mean dressing up.
Yes.
Right? It does not. I think I've worn real jeans. I'm going to say I can count them on one hand since March. Because why? I work from home. I've worked from home for years. And every once in a while, I'll put them on. And then by about noon, I go, why did I do this? This was a dumb idea. And I go put comfortable pants on. But my comfortable pants are not frumpy, dumpy sweatpants. I live in ponte pants. If women don't have ponte pants, I'm going to send you a couple links to put in your show notes because these will change your life. So we have to stop equating dressing well with dressing up. Mm-hmm. And if you are a jeans and t-shirt woman, wear the best jeans and t-shirts you can. If you're a leggings and sweatshirt person, like I am, have fabulous leggings and sweatshirts. That's all it really takes. Yeah. It doesn't have to be frumpy just because it's casual. And then to find your signature style, I have a really easy, easy way to do this. And it's called style guideposts. And these are three words. If somebody was describing your style and they said, oh, Jenny always looks so blank, blank, and blank. What are those blanks for you? Mm-hmm. Mine are fun, current, and polished. That's it. I want my wardrobe to be fun. There's my graphic t-shirt thing. I love bright colors. I'm really getting into brights, not so much neutrals anymore. I love things that make me smile. I have a pair of Adidas sneakers that have little hearts on them and they're so cute. They're fun to me. And then I want my wardrobe to be current. I don't want to look like an Instagram influencer who, you know, is wearing the latest super baggy mom jeans. Like, that's not my style. But I do want people to look at me and think, oh, she's with it. She gets it. And then I want to look polished, which for me means my clothes fit well. They're in good condition. And I do those little styling tricks. Like if it's a half tuck or, you know, rolling my jeans, whatever it is, I put the finishing touches on it. So fun, current, and polished. That is my signature style. And you can pick the beautiful thing about this. You can pick any three words and they don't have to mean anything to anyone but you. Yeah. So you can choose feminine, but what's feminine to you may not be feminine to me. For you, that might mean pink and ruffles and lace. And for me, that might be, I don't know, only floral print or pleated skirts or all dresses. As long as you can hold up an outfit and put an outfit on or hold up an item in your closet and say, is this feminine? Sure, then it goes for you. But the three words I don't want any woman to use are casual, comfortable, and classic. And I'll tell you why. Casual is not a look. I mean, it's a style of dressing. But the problem is women say, oh, my style is casual. But then when we have dressy things, and everybody's life has some dressy things and casual things. So when you have a dressy event and you call yourself casual, you really struggle. My dresses for speaking on stage, they are fun, current, and polished. Second word I don't want anyone using is comfortable. If someone walks up to you and says, you look so comfortable, you're wearing pajamas, right? That's what you're wearing.
That's true.
I am never not comfortable. I don't believe that you should be uncomfortable in your clothing, but I look for my style first and then I buy comfortable pieces. Mm-hmm. In that style. But when you lead with comfort, you automatically go for baggy, oversized, nothing but knits, nothing, you know, you go for sweatpants and loungewear. And there's nothing wrong with that, but you're not focusing on your style first. And the last word is classic. Classic actually is a style. It just doesn't mean what we think it means, mm-hmm. right? Classic, there are classic silhouettes, but there are no classic pieces. So what a lot of women mean by classic is I shopped in 2004, so I don't have to do it again. My clothes are classic.
Got it, yeah.
And everyone who says, oh no, that's true. That's not true. There are timeless things. I want you to think about business suits. We think of a suit as a classic thing. Now, I know everybody watching this podcast is old enough to remember suits in the 80s, right? And if you're not, you can go ahead and watch Working Girl. Yeah, there you go, there's shoulders. You can go watch Working Girl. And then let's go to the 90s. When we had Ally McBeal, long jacket, short skirt. And then we could go to the 2000s. We had Miranda from Sex and the City. And if you watch that now, you go, oh my gosh, that looks so dated, like the lapels, the length of the skirt. And then kind of in the 2010s, we had The Good Wife, and it's a different shape. So you constantly have to be updating. Even a classic white shirt, a pair of jeans, they go through these different iterations over the years. So you cannot use classic to mean, I just don't like to shop. It is a very carefully defined style. And there are some timeless looks, but very rarely, very, very, very rarely. You know, I'm talking Chanel ballet flats, yeah. Not Bandolino flats. Yeah. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. And I'm going to now, because classic was one that when you started talking the three words, that was going to be one of mine. So yeah. I have to come up with another one. I have to put some thought into that, because right off the top of my head, I don't know what those words are.
It takes a little bit of time. It takes a little time to really come up with your three words. But if you think about someone describing your style to someone else, what would you like them to say?
Yeah, I think one word that comes to me is bold, because I do like the bright, bold colors. I don't like to fade into the woodwork, you know. Yeah. So I like the reds and the, you know, oranges and the bright color. I mean, my brand colors are orange. So but now I don't know my other two words.
That's okay. Start with one, you know, add another one. You'll get there over time, and they can change over time, and they don't have to mean anything to anybody else. People will always say, well, what does edgy mean? I don't know. What does it mean to you? Does it mean all leather? Does it mean spikes? Does it mean, you know, super clean lines? Doesn't matter what it means to me. It's what it means to you. And if you can identify it, makes it really easy to clean out your closet too. Because, you know, I can go into my closet and look at that black suit and go, is this fun? No. Is it current? Well, you bought it 25 years ago for job interviews when you were starting out. You know, is it polished? Maybe. But if it doesn't hit at least two of those things, chuck it. You're not going to wear it. Those are the things in your closet you don't wear, because they don't reflect your signature style.
I love what you said about the fact that, you know, the three words have to mean something to you. You know, it may not mean something to anyone else, because it really starts getting your thinking about dressing for yourself instead of dressing for what you think others want to see you in, what you're supposed to wear given your role, whatever your role is, or your label, you know, that you're trying to fill. So I love that concept. And that is so helpful, because I've been thinking myself, just going through, you know, kind of the next thing I wanted us to talk about is something that I kind of have been feeling lately, and it's causing me to want to go through my wardrobe. And that about 2 or 3 years ago, I had to have some professional photos taken for my job. And there was one that I liked, and I sent it to my sister. My sister is 10 years older than me. And he was like, oh, you look so nice and everything. And she goes, you know, you've got a few years left before you become invisible. And I remember thinking, what? And I asked her, I was like, what are you talking about? She goes, oh, when you reach a certain age, you become invisible to the world. Like, you know, you're just this little old lady, and society just no longer sees you.
Yeah.
And I'm determined that I am not going to become invisible. I think, you know, my thought on that is that if you see yourself as invisible, you know, others will see you that way as well. But I just wanted to kind of get your perspective, if you've, you know, dealt with this with some of your clients, and can you help me understand from your perspective how this happens, and then how do you overcome it? You know, how do you start to reclaim, you know, who you are?
Become visible again?
Yeah.
Well, it's funny that you mentioned that, because that was something that I grew up hearing my mom say all the time, is when you get reach a certain age, you become invisible. People in stores don't notice you anymore. You know, people at work don't listen to your ideas, all those things. I heard that. And that was kind of just programmed into us. Yeah. And I just think that's a whole bunch of bull, because it doesn't have to be that way. Mm-hmm. I think there are a few things that happen. Number one, those years leading up to that invisibility point are usually years in a woman's life where she is giving so hard to everybody else.
Yes.
And it is very easy to go from not seeing yourself as visible, right? And that is a lot of motherhood, is not really being visible to anybody.
Right.
It's very easy to go from that to being invisible to the whole world. So I think wherever you are, you got to start to make your mark, right? You've got to start to put your stamp on things. And then I think just physically, we start to fade. Women and men too, for some reason, they get better looking. I don't understand it. It's not fair. But women start to fade, right? We lose color from our hair. We lose color from our skin. We lose color from our eyes. We lose color from our lips. And a lot of times it happens very, very slowly. So you may not realize, ooh, I need a little more color here. Or, you know, maybe I need to start wearing some brighter colors or things like that. So we physically start to shrink and fade away as well. And I think giving yourself back what nature is taking from you is a very good way to stay physically visible.
Mm-hmm.
I also think that women reach a point where they go, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Who cares what I wear? It doesn't matter. And I think that first part is true. Who cares what I wear? I love my friends who don't love to dress up. I love, you know, it doesn't really truly matter, but if it matters to you, then it matters. It doesn't have to matter to anyone else. Right. You know, I moved from Washington, D.C. to a small town in Minnesota. I wore a green faux fur coat to, you know, this little like dive bar to meet up with friends last winter. And yeah, did I get some luck? Sure did. Do I care? Sure don't. Right? Who cares? It made me happy. I own it. Why wouldn't I wear it? So continuing to put your stamp on things is really important. Also, trying new things. I think part of the invisibility thing is that it's kind of like we all just assume we're classics and we don't need to learn new things. I see it with technology where, you know, I'm having a problem with my phone. I hand it to my middle schooler.
Yeah.
Right? We stop listening to new music. We stop following trends in all areas. And then you do start to become less relevant. And then you feel like you don't have a part in the conversation. So you do become more invisible. So, you know, whenever I'm in the car, I say to my daughter, what are you listening to these days? And we put that on. And I try and keep up with those things. But I will tell you, the women who shop at Chico's, and some of them weren't super bold, but that is more of a place with some bold things in it. Yeah. It is impossible to be invisible in a metallic zebra jacket. Like you just can't be.
True.
You just can't be. So I think seeing those women kind of helped break that idea for me, because those were some stylish ladies in some bold colors and bold prints. And you don't have to be bold, but you still always have to be evolving.
Yeah.
And again, putting your personal stamp on things.
That's so true. You know, growing up, my mother was beautiful. I mean, she seriously could have been a model. And I look back at pictures of her back from when my sister, who, as I said, is 10 years older than me, and mom had the most beautiful clothes. I mean, it's like just stunning. And as she aged, you could just see as you look through photographs how she just she didn't keep up with her clothes and makeup and all that. And so I had that kind of exposure. But then on the other hand, I had my grandmother, my dad's mother, who she died when she was 104 years old. And when she passed, her hair was fire engine red. She had lipstick on. She had on the same, she wore the same pink nail polish from, I know at least from the day I was put on this earth. I mean, I can remember that pink as long as I live, I will remember that. And so, you know, she was that complete opposite where she kept really, she wasn't into trends, but she wore what made her happy. And trust me, she was not invisible. There was no way she was invisible. And so, I mean, I've kind of seen both sides of that. And I mean, I'll be honest, I want to go where my grandmother went, because, she loved her clothes. She didn't have a huge wardrobe, but what she had, she loved it. She wore it. And you could just tell she felt confident in who she was, just by the way, by her appearance. So,
I think it's important to keep in mind, though, that if that's not important to someone, right? Like, for your grandmother, that was important to her, and it was part of what made her her. Mm-hmm. And what I never want is for women who this is not their priority to feel like they have to be doing that not to be invisible or to feel confident about themselves. Whatever it is, you don't. I look at style and putting myself together. That's important to me because I love it. So for me to not do that, it's not doing something that is self-care for me. But if it is really stressful for people, if people, if you are not a makeup wearer, don't become one.
Oh yeah.
To please other people. And I have such a love-hate relationship with fashion. I hate the F word, by the way. That is my least favorite word. I prefer style, because fashion is such this other thing that is for other people. I really love the concept of personal style. But what I always tell women is, if you don't have a problem, you don't have a problem, right? If you are happy just the way you are, you don't need a makeover. You don't need a wardrobe overhaul. You don't need a new lipstick. If you are not happy in those areas, that's when you have to fix it.
Right.
If you don't feel frumpy, it doesn't matter if you wear what I would consider the frumpiest clothes in the whole wide world. If you don't feel frumpy, you don't have a problem.
Exactly.
It's that woman who is feeling frumpy and then says, but it doesn't matter. But it does. To you, it does.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're not bothered by your wardrobe or your style or, the fact that you've gone gray, some people are totally cool with it. Some people are not. I will not be. I can tell you that right now. I will not be. But I think if you are somebody who feels more confident and feels better about yourself when you do those style things, don't stop doing them. Right. And if you're somebody who doesn't have an issue, don't start doing them. Be true to yourself.
Yeah, I mean, it just goes back to, really focusing on what makes you happy.
Yep. Right?
And helps you be the most comfortable, whatever that is. It's just so important, because again, life's too short to be unhappy or miserable. And if you are happy where you are, by gosh, keep doing whatever it is you're doing. Because, that's what's important. One of the last things I wanted us to talk about, because, as I mentioned, I'm starting to go through my wardrobe and try to figure out, because I've got so much stuff and, I've never sat down and just kind of weeded through it and figured out what am I honestly going to wear? And I was learning the other day about the whole concept of a capsule wardrobe. And I'm just curious about your thoughts about that. Like, what is it and how do you go about creating that? Because it just sounds really interesting.
So before I get into that, it's giving me a lot of anxiety that you haven't cleaned out your closet recently. I'm going to need you to go do that. As soon as we're done.
I have never. I even think when I moved into my house 15 years ago, I didn't really downsize. Crap into a box and delivered it. I mean, it was just awful. Yeah, I'm terrible about that. I'm pack rat.
Okay. There is not one piece in my wardrobe that I don't love and wear. Not one. There are pieces I don't wear right now, right? I think this whole year, and maybe it'll be a year and a half, maybe it's a 2-year thing, you sort of get a pass. So I don't want anybody going and turning around their hangers, waiting a year and throwing things out. Don't do that. Don't do that right now. But there is nothing in my wardrobe that I would not buy again right now. And that is the secret to cleaning out your closet. Everybody should have that as a goal. I could talk about cleaning out closets all day long, but let's talk about capsule wardrobes instead. So a capsule wardrobe is a small, carefully curated collection of clothing that you love to wear, that all works together to become more than the sum of its parts. So I've created capsule guides for the last, I don't know, 4 years, every season. And my guides are usually like 34 pieces. And that includes tops, bottoms, dresses, shoes, accessories, everything that you need for a season, right? We can usually make over 200 outfits out of them.
Wow.
Yep. That's what happens when you start putting your wardrobe together with a plan.
With a strategy. Yeah.
A strategy. A capsule wardrobe is usually, so if people want to start their own, it is, number one, it needs to work for the way you live, right? There are not suits in my capsule. I don't care how, when coronavirus is over and I return to the real world, I hate suits. I don't have to wear them, so I don't. Yeah. So you don't have anything that you don't wear or want to wear or doesn't work for your lifestyle. That's not included. Special occasion stuff isn't really included. Underwear, pajamas, that's not in there. But it's 34 or 35, whatever you choose, pieces that work for the way you really live.
So for example, it might be, again, I'm making this up, X number of shirts that could be interchanged and worn with a skirt or a pair of pants or jeans. You know, it's sort of a mix and match kind of
concept. It is completely mix and match. So another thing I love about this podcast is that everyone will understand the Granimals reference. Yeah. Right? That's monkey right. Pants go with monkey shirts.
Yeah.
That is what a capsule wardrobe is. This goes with this, this goes with this. And I kind of started with this when I was working with clients one-on-one, and I was working with a lot of women who were in transition, either from, you know, just having a baby or losing weight, whatever it was. And so we needed to create these really small wardrobes because overbuying things that you don't plan on wearing very long is a dumb idea. So we would really kind of narrow it down. And we would start with a cohesive color palette. That is really tip number one when you're creating your capsule. You can't have black and brown and navy and gray as your neutrals, because then you need shoes that go with this and shoes that go with this and shoes that go. So you have a very carefully defined color palette. So we would determine that. And then we would buy a few pants, a few shirts, a few layering pieces, things that go over, things that go under, a couple of dresses. And then at the end, there was this one spot in the mall that had this huge ottoman. It was a big round ottoman. And we used to go and I'd lay everything out and I would say, okay, you can wear this with this and this with this and this with this. Okay. Now this with this. And we'd just take pictures of all the outfits, and women would kind of stop and watch us do this because yeah. It's kind of fun. Mm-hmm. And that's really sort of how this started. And then other women were like, okay, but I don't know what to buy. I don't know where to start. So with anything, once you've chosen your color palette, and they should be colors that you love and that you feel good in, then you start on the bottoms. And we talked about this earlier. The problem in 95% of wardrobes is the pants. Mm-hmm. You have 100 tops and 2 pair of pants you like, and then you wonder why you can't get dressed. It's because you don't have any pants. So I start, when I create my capsule wardrobes, with the bottoms. Okay, so we need this black pant and we want a skinny jean. Okay, we want an athleisure bottom. And then we do that. And then we start going, okay, do we want dresses this season? Where are we going? What are we doing? We put a couple of those in, and then we start to build with tops. And then the last thing we do is add shoes and accessories. But it's really about everything working together, because most women can't pull 35 pieces out of their wardrobe, including, it's usually like 2 necklaces, a couple pairs of earrings, a scarf, and 4 or 5 pairs of shoes. That's 9 out of 34 are accessories. So we're really down to 20 some odd pieces that can create 200 outfits. Most women can't do that because they don't all work together. So that's really what a capsule wardrobe is.
I love that. I'm so interested. Now, you have a freebie, a downloadable document, right? That kind of talks through that.
I will do you one better. It is a little ebook that shows you how to do it. It is a 10 piece capsule wardrobe that creates over 30 outfits.
Wow. Okay. So for everybody listening, that is the link to this ebook is going to be in our show notes. So wherever you're getting your podcast, just look at the show notes and you can download that. That is I'll be downloading it.
You can actually put it in a carry-on bag that fits under the seat of an airplane, a wardrobe for an entire month. And that is with shoes in there.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
That's so cool.
Yeah. It's about being really intentional, which everyone should be when they're shopping, but it's about being intentional, making sure everything works with everything else, and that you're not, you know, Nobody can wear all these clothes we have. We don't have enough days. We don't have enough days in the year to wear all our stuff.
Yeah. And so it just, I don't know about you, when I've got all this stuff, it just takes so much of my energy, right? It's just stuff crammed into dressers and closets and hasn't seen the light of day in years. And so I am really intrigued about being able to cull that down into, you know, 34 pieces. That would be awesome. So
yeah. And that's per season. That's not your entire four season wardrobe. That's 34 per season. There's usually some overlap, right? Some spring goes into summer, some fall goes into winter, but it is a much, much better way. Every minute you spend in the morning flipping through clothes to pick something to wear is a minute you lose of your day. Yeah. And you have started your day by having to make difficult decisions or any decision, right? And we make enough of them that we get decision fatigue. So let's take that out of clothing. Let's make it absolutely foolproof to love the results.
Yeah, absolutely. Wow. I'll be downloading your book. That's for sure. I mean, that's awesome. So one last question before we head out, but just, you know, you've got such strong experience in helping women. And I guess what is advice that you would give to a woman over 40 as she's, you know, looking at her wardrobe and just, you know, maybe she's wanting to reclaim her confidence. What advice would you give her?
The very first step is that you have to decide you're worth it. You have to decide that regardless of where your body is, it is worth it to dress it well right now. Regardless of what your lifestyle is, if you haven't gone anywhere in 5 months, you have to decide it's worth it to dress well right now. I could sit and give hours of advice on how to dress your body, how to find your colors, how to do all of that stuff until you decide it is worth the extra 5 minutes a day. The rest of it is completely worthless.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's a quote by fashion editor, former Vogue editor, Diana Vreeland. And she said, it's not about the dress. It's about the life you live in the dress. And I love that because I don't love clothes. I love what clothes do for women. What I find is that a lot of women don't have the right dress to live the life they want.
Oh, that's good. That's
right. Good. If you've ever stood in front of your closet and thought, I don't want to go. I just want to stay home. Should I cancel? Mm-hmm. Life is meant to be lived. Yeah. And if you have a good pair of pants in your closet that make you feel like $1 million and go with anything, you never have that moment again. If you have that dress that makes you feel amazing, can go just about anywhere, you never have that moment again. Yeah. Clothing to me should be a catalyst to help women reach where they want to be.
Right.
Rather than this unattainable, difficult thing that we're constantly on the quest to achieve, right? And if I just lose the weight, I'll reward myself with jeans. No, you won't, because you'll never lose the weight that way. You know what I want you to do? Go buy the jeans. Go buy the jeans right now in your current size. Love where you are right now, and then it will change. Clothes are a much better catalyst than they are a reward, but you have to decide that it is worth 5 minutes a day. And if you don't know how to find clothes for your body, don't know how to find your best colors, then it is worth investing in that education. Women were not taught, most of us were not taught these things.
No.
And we think because we're women that it's like this genetic code, right? That we all were born with the style gene. We're not. It is a skill. It is a skill. Dressing yourself is way more a science than an art. And, you know, that's what my podcast, The Everyday Style School, is all about. It's about teaching women the stuff no one else ever told you. And that's why we create the classes that we create. Because if you've been struggling for 50 years to dress your body type, oh my gosh, just solve it. Just solve it.
Yeah.
Take a course, solve it.
That is so awesome. Gosh, I feel so just energized now to go.
Oh, good.
As we hang up, to go to my closet and start doing some work. That's awesome. Yes. So because I'm definitely a listener of your podcast, tell us a little bit about it and where people can find it. And I will also put a link to it in the show notes.
Okay.
It's Everyday.
It's called the Everyday Style School, and it is real style advice for real women. And we cover things like, are skinny jeans still in style? And do I have to wear pantyhose in the winter? And, you know, bigger topics like how to dress your body shape. We have a whole series of episodes on that. We also interview other women in the style kind of fields or style adjacent to help with home and beauty and all that good stuff. And yeah, my goal is really to inspire women to love the way they look and give them the tools to do so. You can be inspired all day long, but if you don't know how to do it, it's kind of pointless.
That's right.
And you can have the tools, but if you don't care, you're not going to do anything with them. So for me, they go hand in hand, and you can find that on every major podcast platform or just on my website, which is youreverydaystyle.com.
Youreverydaystyle.com. Well, thank you so much. This has been so much fun. And I feel like I said, seriously, I'm definitely want to go in and clean out a dresser or something.
I hope you do, because my blood pressure needs to go down.
I promise. I'll send you an email and let you know for sure I did it. But no, I really feel good. Feel you know, like I can do it. And so, you know, everybody watching or listening, be sure to download the ebook, as well as be sure to go ahead and listen to the podcast, because you know, it's just so important that we as women, as you said, realize that we're worth it, right? Yeah. We have to decide that we're worth it, and whatever it is, right? So whether you're happy in how you, you know, your wardrobe, and, you know, if you feel good about that, keep doing that. But if you want to enhance and really, you know, really bring your personality out more in what you're wearing, get those tools to do that. So. Mm-hmm. This has been fun.
Jennifer, thank you.
Thank you so very much. This has been very fun. Appreciate it very much.
Thank you for having me.
All right. Listen, thank you so much. Take care.
Gosh, guys, I hope you enjoyed my conversation with Jennifer just as much as I did. And please don't forget to download her free 10-piece capsule wardrobe guide. You can find the link in today's show notes, where we include links to her website as well as her free ebook. Okay, until next time, label changers, keep on moving forward and working to create the success you want and deserve. And thank you so much for listening to an episode of the Labeled Podcast.